So you want to download NextVB Zip, Project Write Text Zip, and Read Project Zip. Both of them I want you to download, but we're going to look at them separately. Okay, the first thing I'm going to open is actually one that you already have opened. So I'm going to go to Input Box. User Input. User Input you've already downloaded. That's the one I'm starting out with.
You're starting with User Input?
User Input. Because I just want to remind you of how the input box works, etc. Okay, on this form, I have a name that I'm really not doing anything with, and I've got a gross pay that is an answer. Okay? The majority of the things that I'm doing in this one are going to be done with input boxes. Okay, so this is what an input box looks like. And we looked at this last week. An input box prompts the user for something. Now, we're going to look at putting this into a loop. And that's where they have a lot of value. Because if I have a form and I need to type information in for every pass through a loop, I'm not that fast. I can't do that. Okay? But an input box and a message box both stop processing and wait for me to do something. So if I run this, come on, you can do it. If I run this and I put in Susan and then I say click here, okay, an input box comes up. Processing has stopped. I can go have a cup of coffee and come back and it will still be there. Processing has stopped. So it puts a hold on processing. So now I can enter in 40 hours they worked and pay per hour is 40 and it comes back with 1600 and it also comes back with a message box. And the message box also stops processing. Okay. So that's what these do. So if I run this again, okay, again, what happens is that as soon as it hits the line about input box, and I can enter the name or not enter the name, it doesn't matter. But as soon as I click on click here, the code gets executed. It sets up three variables, and then it pops up with this input box. And again, I can just sit here forever, and the input box will just stay there waiting for me to do something. So I put in 50. I mean, I have to be there. Put in 50. And put in 50. And it's 2,500. Okay? And it just goes through, but it waits. The processing's not done until I hit the okay, and then it's over. Okay, so now I want to, we've looked at input box, now I want to close this, and I want to open the one under next. And I'm going to look at VB loops. Okay. So here are VB loops. And remember, they're under next VB. This is under next VB. Okay, so right now I have a program where I am going to put in an amount and a total, and it's going to keep subtracting from the total. Okay. So I've got a while loop, and in the while loop I put in, I've got word count, which I'm really not using particularly, but I'm subtracting from a total, and I'm doing it until I get the total down to zero. So if I run this, come on. Okay, so if I put in amount is 100 and total is 1,000, it's going to keep running this until it gets to zero. What happened was total went from 1,000 to 900, 800 to 700, but I never saw it because it was too fast. I couldn't catch it. If I wanted to catch it, however, I could put a message box in there. And I could put in, a message box. Come on, we can do this. And in the message box, I can say, I want to show text total dot text. Okay, so I want to show it. So now if I run this, and I put in 100 that I want to subtract each time, and 1,000, because that's what I'm doing, I'm saying take the total, subtract the amount, and put it back in the total. So the total keeps dropping by 100. Okay, so now if I click the while loop, it comes back, and because it stops, I see that in fact this did go down to 900. And then when I click OK, it goes to 800. And when I click OK, it goes to 700 and 600 and 500, and it keeps going down until I got to zero. But when I didn't have the message box, I never saw any of these subtractions because it was too fast. My eyes aren't fast enough to catch this split nanosecond when it shows the number. But if I put the message box in there, I can see the number. Okay. Now, the problem I've got is that I am... There we go. The problem I have is that when I do this, I'm always subtracting 100. The user doesn't have a chance to change that amount. Because, again, I couldn't go to the form and change 100 to, say, 500. Or the 100 to, say, 300. I can't do it fast enough. So if I want text amount or text to be something that I can change, then I need to start worrying about using an input box. So I have to set up an area that we will call amount WK. Okay, so amount WK is going to be something I'm going to dim as an integer. And I can do that either at the top and make it global, or I can do it down in the routine. It doesn't really matter which I decide to do, because I'm only using it in this one routine. But if I put it up at the top, it's global. So then what I want to do is, I don't want to subtract text amount dot text. I want to subtract this amount work. And I want amount work to be something that the user can change. So I'm going to need an input box here. I'm going to have an input box where the user is going to get prompted for how much they want to subtract this time. So instead of always subtracting what is in work amount or text amount, I want to subtract whatever the user wants to subtract this time. And so an input box will stop processing long enough for me to take in an amount from the user and subtract that. So I want you to take a minute and let's fix this program so that instead of using text amount, we subtract amount work and we put up an input box that will take amount work. So try taking this program and changing that. And if I do that, I don't really need to put out the message because I'm already stopping. So I can just forget about the message there. So take a few minutes and try to fix this. And I'm going to go and bring up the fix. So I think I'm going to bring up the fix. Yes. Okay, so try to repair this program so that instead of using what's in textAmount.text every single time, I let the user tell me how much to subtract.
I was trying to find the exact same thing.
What? What?
I was trying to find the exact same one the week you were on.
I'm on under Next VB, one that talks about loops.
Yes, I'm already on that. Next
VB, and one that talks about loops. I don't remember the names. Project VB loops.
This one.
Yep. Whatever you take in from input box is going to be assigned to our work, and then I can subtract our work from our total. Has anybody got it working? Okay, here's what I did, compare it to what you're doing. I set up in amount work as an integer. And I did it in the global area, but again, I could have done it locally. So I could have set it up inside the subroutine. It's totally your choice on this. And then down here in the do while, I prompted the user and said amount work is going to be equal to whatever you enter in the input box. So amount work is equal to whatever you enter in the input box. And the input box has a title, which I made a prompt. I said prompt, and it has a where you tell people what to do, and I said I was going to get an amount. So then I changed the work total, and I'm subtracting amount work from the work total. Okay? So if I run this, I'm now going to ignore amount because I'm not using it for this particular example. And I'm going to put 1,000 in here for total. So when I get, when I've subtracted enough from total to make it zero, I'm going to quit. So I put 1,000 there. And now I'm going to do the while loop. So I click on while, and it comes up and says, get them out. And notice the prompt that I put in there is right at the top, and get them out is right here telling them that I want to get them out. So I'm going to put in 500 and say okay. And now total has been decreased by 500. So now I'm going to say 300 and say okay. And total has now been decreased by 300 more. So it's down to 200. So now if I put in 200, total is going to be reduced by 200 more, and it's going to drop to zero, and I'm done. Because I said do while the total is greater than zero. So once it got to zero, I wanted to get out. Okay? So just making those changes, I was able to have the amount, a different amount, depending on what the user wanted it to be, as opposed to always subtracting 100. Okay? And I was able, because processing stopped, I was able to watch total decreasing as I subtracted stuff. Okay, so using an input box and using a message box, stop processing, and especially with loops, that's a real important thing to be able to do. The other thing I want to emphasize that we talked about before, but the difference between a while loop, so this is do while text total dot text is greater than zero. So this is what keeps you in the loop. I keep doing it while that. The until is what gets me out. The until gets me out. So the until says, keep doing it until total falls to a negative number or a zero. So the test for the while is what keeps me in. As long as it's greater than zero, I'm going to stay in the loop. The test for the until is what gets me out. I'm going to get out when the total is less than or equal to zero. Okay? So one is what keeps me in, one is what gets me out. And that's part of the reason that a programmer makes a choice. They may, in this particular case, also it had to do with testing at the top and testing at the bottom. Okay, questions on any of that stuff that I've just looked at? Okay. So the next thing I am going to look at is reading and writing. So I want to do a file close solution and a file open, and I'm going to open the one that says project write text. Okay? So the one that says project write text, and it's one of the last ones, so if you haven't downloaded it, go to my list of programs and download it. But I'm going to look at project write text, and I'm going to look at read project also. So project write text. And again, remember I do the I.O. This is, if your extension show, this is the SLN extension. this is writing data. And in fact, that's what computers are our friend about, is writing data, creating data files, creating inventory files, creating payroll files, updating inventory files, updating payroll files. If you're in games, writing a file that has the information about where you were in the game so that you can start up at the same spot. So writing is key to processing data. And in fact, it used to be called data processing because the key was that I am processing data. And that's why companies want it, is they want to be able to keep files of their employees and files of their sales and files of everything. So if I can't write, then I don't have a lot of value. So what I've done here is I've set up a program that is going to write. And the first thing I have to do is I have to choose where I'm going to write to. Now, yours says something different than mine. I'm going to call this to 2 F17 because, am I insane? I want to write a file called stu2f17.txt and I want to write it to the E drive. Okay, so I have to change the address to go to a location that I choose, and I need to change the name of the file. I think the one that you have also has a folder name in it, and that's perfectly fine if I want to set up on my file, on my disk, I want to set up a folder and put it into the folder name. Right now, I didn't put a folder name. I'm just putting it on the root of the E drive. But I could have put in a folder name slash file name, and then it would go in that folder. Obviously, I have to have a folder of that name, and if I don't, I got to make it. But I can write a file and save it. Okay, so the work that I do isn't lost, it's going to be saved. Now, the line above that says dim data write. And that's the name that I made up for the data that I'm going to write. And I'm saying dim data write as string. And then I am telling what I want to write. I want to write the content of text ID. And I then concatenate that with a plus. Concatenate it with using the plus, sorry. And I concatenate it with a comma. So that is telling me that I'm going to put out the ID, then a comma, then a name, then a comma, then the major, and then VBCRLS is Visual Basic Control Line Feed, which means it will drop down to the next line. Okay, so when I'm done, I move down to the next line, which means the next one I write will be on the next line. Then I copy and paste this line. My computer file system write all text. If you want to memorize it, have a good time. I copy and paste it. And inside that, I put the name of the file and data write. And then true is another copy. So I'm putting in data write. And data write is what I did up here. So it is data write. Yes.
In the design, what does the ID number and name and major get into this? In design.
What do you mean by in design?
The one that says design next to
design shows you the form.
Yeah, but what's in the form? What does it do inside the form?
The form has those four fields on it. If you click on it, you'll see the form.
All right, I was curious.
Because if you, wait a minute, click on it and there is the form.
Yes.
This is text ID.
I know what they are. I'm saying when you play it, what what does it resolve? What does it do?
Nothing. Just gathers the data you put in and writes it on the disk.
Huh.
But that's creating a disk file. You could have it far more complex, but I didn't make it more complex on purpose.
Thank goodness.
So I'm now saying take the text ID number and use the clear function. Clear function is something Visual Basic has and it empties out the box. Then take text name and clear it. Then take text major and clear it. And then put the focus, which means put the cursor back at text ID number. Focus means put the cursor there. And those are all functions. The two parentheses afterwards tells me those are functions or procedures that VB has and they will execute. And then I have one other button, which is the end button, and it just ends. And as I've said before, you could have it me.close with the two parentheses, and that's another way of closing up. So if I now run this, okay, I've got the box, and I'm going to put in here 111, and John Doe. Well, I'm doing very well. John, I keep, there we go. And John Doe is a CI major. Then I click on write, and it writes it out. And then the three clears and the focus work, so that I've cleared it out, and you can see the focus is back on the ID. And then I'll put in 222, and Linda French. And she is also a CI major, and I write her. And then I'll put in 333, Bob Costa, and he is also a CI major, and I'm writing him. And now I'm done, so I'm going to click end. Okay, so I've now written three records out to the file. Okay, so now I'm going to go to my E drive, which is where I put it, and I am going to go and look for Stu2F17, and there it is. So I'm clicking on Stu2F17, and there it is. So there is the file that I created. And notice each one of them, I have the ID number concatenated with a comma, concatenated with the name, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with the major, concatenated with BBCRLS, which means move down to the next line. So what I've got is I've got three fields out there, and as it turns out, I also have three records. But I have three fields, and they're separated with commas, okay, so that I can tell when one field begins and the other field ends. Those are called delimiters, and the comma delimiter means I can tell when one field ends and the other field begins, okay? So, what I would like you to do now for just a few minutes and play with this is take my program, go back to the form and maybe make name or major something different. And so doctor up the form to have different data on it and then write it so that you create a file as well. And you can choose where you want to put the file, but I would suggest putting it on a flash drive and you can make up a name for it. Right now, we're just calling it a text file. So go and manipulate mine so that you write a file with some slightly different information. You can have an ID and a name and make the third field their GPA or make the third field their option that they're in or something else, but just doctor it up a little and then do the right. Yes.
What is the text ID number dot focus?
That puts the cursor in that spot.
The cursor?
Mm-hmm. So putting the focus there means that when you start typing, it will go into that box. So it positions where you want the box. The first thing you want to type in is the ID, so it positions itself in the ID box so that you can start typing without having to move the mouse or move the cursor around. Questions, anyone? Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I just... Play with this and see, has anybody got a file written? Again, what I suggest you do is go back to the form and change the major to something else or something on that order. And then use that name in here and write it to wherever you want to write it to. So you're not having to make a terrible lot of changes here. Create an output file. Okay, has everybody got an output file, or has anybody got an output file? Well, if you go back to the form and click on that and change it to name.
I have a question. When I open the default page, the snake popped up.
I want you to open is the Read project. Are you still having problems with it, Dimitri? Eric, can you go in?
No, I got it. Man.
You got it? Okay. Okay, file open project solution. Or actually, I should have done file close. File close solution. File open project solution. And this time, I am opening, I'm on the E drive, and I'm opening Read project. Okay, so there's my Read project. So the first thing I need to do is come up here and change the address, or the name of the file, actually. The address is fine, to the E drive stu2f17, so that I can read the file that I just wrote. So I need the name there of the file that I wrote, so I can read the file that I just wrote. Okay, so that's whatever name you gave it when you wrote it has now got to be the name you give it when you read. It's got to be the same, or it's not going to be able to find the file and read it. Okay, so now I'm saying dim my reader, and I set up my reader as, and that's a copy and paste. The only thing you change is the address there. Okay, now, remember that I said that we were using the comma as a delimiter? Down here on form read load, when I load the form. And remember, a load is created by double-clicking on any blank area on the form. And it creates a load routine. Yep.
Are you on my project or frn3.me?
Well, I'm on project read, or read project, rather. And this is the form that's within that project. Okay, so now I've got down here, and here's a copy and paste line. My reader, that's the thing I did up there, my reader, text field type, I've got a delimiter, calling it about the delimiter. And down on the next line, I say set the delimiter as a comma. So that means that it is looking at the comma as the separator of fields. If when I had written this file, I put a slash in instead of a comma, now I need to tell it that by putting the slash here. So in other words, it's got to know what I use to separate fields. Well, I used a comma, so I'm telling it I set the delimiter as a comma. If I used a slash, I put set delimiter as a slash. If I used an A or something, I'd set delimiter as that, which would be a bad thing to use because then I couldn't use an A for anything else. So stick to special characters, pretty much. So now I'm ready to read the file. So I click on button read, which I put a button up there, and I said give current row as a string, and current row is going to hold the record that I'm currently reading. I put three records out on the file, and now it's going to point to that first record. Okay. So I said dim current row as a string, and then I said if not, my reader end of data. So that means if I can successfully read something. If I can't, I come down here to the else, and on the else I say, end of file reached. Okay? And we'll talk about that message in a minute after we've run. So now I'm saying, if not my reader, end of file. In other words, if there is data, then current row is going to be set to my reader, which points to the file, read fields. And the fields that I'm going to have, I've got three fields that I put out there. I put out the ID, that's going to be field 0. I put out the name, that's going to be 1. And the current row is going to be 2. And I'm going to take and put this into text ID number. And put this one into text name. And put this one into text major. So for the first one, I put 111 John Doe. And I put CI. So what it's saying here is current row 0, meaning the first field. And it knows that a comma is delimiting the first field. So it knows it should take everything up to the first comma. Then current row 1 is after the first comma up to the second comma. And major is current row 2, going to get current row 2, which is after the second comma. So it sets up an array like this. It sets up an array of the three fields. If I put 10 fields on the record, the array would be 10. But it sets up an array of the fields. So current row 0 means the first field. Current row 1 means the second field. Current row 2 means the third field. So it knows the first field should go to text ID number. The second field should go to text name. And the third field should go to text major. Now, when it numbers the array elements, it numbers them as 0, 1, 2. Okay? Computer East talks as 0 is the first thing. The rest of the world talks about 1 being the first thing. Okay? But you just have to remember that in most Computer East, 0 is the first thing. And so 0 is the first field, 1 is the second field, 2 is the third field. And I move the data in. The next time I read a button, it is going to check to see if there's another record, and if it is, it's going to move the information from the second record. And then the next time I hit read, it will move the information from the third record. So I'm going to try this now and make sure it's working. Okay, so I'm clicking on Start. And I'm going to click on Read. And it got the first record. And it put it in the right places. And then when I hit Read again, it gets the second record. And when I hit Read again, it gets the third record. So it's read through and got each record. Now watch what happens when I hit read one more time. When I hit read one more time, it comes up with end of file reached, which is the message that I said to put out. If not, okay, if not end of data process, if it is end of data, then put end of file reached into the label. But end of file reached into the label. Okay, and that's what it did. Now, if I go back to the form in design mode, I don't see any spots set up for that message to go into. But if I come over here and I click on Label 1, which is what I called it. It was Label 1. If I click on Label 1, notice where Label 1 is. Label 1 is something I dragged over and I put right there. Okay? I didn't put any text in it. I just had it right there. And anytime you want to see something, you can go to Properties, and right under Properties, it lists all of the different things. So I found Label 1. I put up Label 1. I didn't give it a name. I should have called it Label Message or something like that. But it would have worked the same way. And so I now got Label 1 on the form. And when I hit End of File, I'm putting something into Label 1. And you can see that if you go in Label1.txt is where I put the message. So when I want to see Label1.txt, I go back to Properties, find it, and that will show me the field. Okay. If you got it written, I'd like you to now spend a few minutes, and we only have a few because I've got a little more I want to do, trying to get the read to work. So modifying my program so that you can get your read to work. If you didn't get the write to work, then go back to working on the write. If you have any questions, ask Eric or I.
So now we can manipulate this, right?
Manipulate it? Yeah. Yes. As I said, If the right isn't working, you want to go back and work on the right. And if you need help, you're giving Eric much too much free time. Okay, anybody successfully gets anything read or at least on the way? It will show up on your homework assignment, so. Anybody get a reading? You look like you almost did.
Yeah.
Okay, you can go back to it if you want, but unfortunately, I need to move on. I want to go to Next BB and bring up Project Yes. So I want to go to Next BB. I have Next BB 2, you have Next BB. And I want to bring up Project If Test. And this is one I just want to comment some things about. Unlike JavaScript, Visual Basic wants to know the type. Okay, so I said type is integer, and it's got an initial value of 0. Then down here, I define a lot of things locally. So those are local. Okay? And in fact, in that one, what I did is I took information from the text boxes and put them in work areas, which are defined as integers. And so then they're now known numbers, and I can do the calculations with them with a plus without converting. Up at the top, when I did a calculation with using the text boxes, I had to convert them, which I did with Val. And I'm starting to lose my voice, so that's a good thing that we're getting toward the end. Okay. Okay. So, if I convert them and I have numbers, I can come down here and use work spent plus work committed. Whereas up here, when I use the stuff directly from the text boxes, I have to convert them with the val. Because everything on the text box is, on the form rather, is considered to be text. Everything on the form is considered to be text. Okay? But I've defined work areas. When I put them in, they become the number that I can then use in the calculation. Okay. Now down below, I have two routines, and in this one I wanted work total in both of them. So I ended up defining it in both of them. So I defined it locally in both of them. In fact, what I probably could have done was define them as a global. And then I wouldn't have had to define them separately if I had defined them as global. So, the logic on this one is that I'm checking for Boston. I'm saying, is the branch equal to Boston? And if the answer is yes, then I'm saying, okay, is the budget greater than 5,000? And if the answer is yes, then I'm saying they meet the criteria. If the answer is no to the budget question, I have one more chance. And that one more chance is the total greater than the budget divided by 2? And if it is, then it meets the criteria. So you can see, just looking at this much of the flowchart, Boston has to be true, and one of the other two things has to be true. And I don't care which one is true, because I get the same response for either one. I don't care which one it is. Okay, if I get a no to this, the total greater than budget divided by two, then it does not meet the criteria. And so I have does not meet the criteria. If I get a no to Boston, I also have a not. It does not meet the criteria. Okay? And I've got a why over here someplace. Okay, so this is the way it is set up. Boston has to be true. Can you take it sitting? Because people find you. Boston has to be true. And then either of these has to be true. Now, it turns out that I don't care which one has to be true. I have the same message. And if they're not true, I don't care. I also have the same message. So that leads me to think that I could do this with a compound. And if you can read through my writing, you'll see that I do it with a compound. I say, if the branch equals Boston, and I put in the parentheses, and read those parentheses as either. And either. Budget is greater than 5,000, or work total is greater than the text budget, than the budget divided by two. Close parenthesis. So that means that Boston and either of those things, which is what the flowchart shows. Boston, yes. Either of those get a yes. I have, they meet criteria. If not, I have, does not meet criteria.
Are you done?
Pardon me?
Are you done?
Am I done?
Yeah.
Not, yeah, no.
Huh?
Oh, okay. So I'm actually almost done. So if I get rid of the ink so that you can see it. This could be written as Boston and either of those things. Now, if I took out the parenthesis, how would it be resolved? If I took out the parenthesis... Ands get resolved before ors, right? Without parentheses, parentheses can change that. Ands get resolved before ors. So if I take out the parentheses, it's Boston and budget greater than 5,000, or just work total greater than budget divided by two. Okay? So ands get resolved before ors. When I want the or to be an either or, then I have to put in the parenthesis. Okay. Questions? The other thing is, if you look at the way Visual Basic does this, it very nicely lines things up. So those if and that else all go together. Then this if and else all go together. And then this if, else, and if all go together. And they line it up very nicely so that you can see. In the C world and the Java world, they tend to use, and JavaScript, they tend to use curly braces.
They don't tend to, they do. They use curly braces. Visual Basic and some other languages use the if ended structure, which I actually like better than curly braces. I lose curly braces too often. Okay? Somehow the words I don't lose as often as the curly braces. But if your first language is C, then you probably love curly braces. So it all depends on what you learn first. I learned a language that used the if and ifs. Okay, I am done. And I'm going to save this because the last class, I somehow managed to mess up and lose it.